Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Sign up for Secret Church 20. Well, tonight we are going to talk about trust for a little bit. And this is a topic that, as I've talked to many of our church members, this is something that has been on their minds about trusting God and about trusting God in the middle of difficulty. But this extends beyond difficulty, just trusting God on a day-to-day basis. What does that look like? And so I want us to look at one passage. I want us to look at three verses tonight. And it's found, and the three verses are found in Psalm 37. Starting with verse 1, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness." Let's pray as we get started. Lord God, we give you thanks for today. And we give you thanks for your word. And we give you thanks that we can just gather together wherever we may be, and we can learn from your word. We can be challenged by your word. You speak to us from your word. We are ultimately changed. We're transformed by your word. And we pray that you would do that tonight for us and teach us about the things that this passage mentions, those things that come against our trust, that combat our faith, and what you have told us to do in order to step out in trust, take that next step of faith, and live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing I want to point out is that verses 1 and 2, now I don't have these numbers, but fret not, and for they will soon, that's verse 1 and verse 2, and then verse 3 is trust in the Lord. There is a contrast that's going on between these two ideas. Now, at first, it may not seem very obvious, but I think as we go on, you're going to see that this psalm actually follows a pattern, at least these three verses, and there's a contrast going on with people who are evildoers, people who are wrongdoers, people who are not following according to the command of God, and then those who do and those who truly trust God. And so as we look at this, I want us to start out with this first phrase and contrast that with this phrase in verse 3. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. And then we have this contrast. Trust in the Lord. Which brings us to our first point. Trust and do not worry. Now I understand that's easier said than done. Because how many times has somebody told you, oh, you just don't need to worry about it? Or they'll start a conversation with this. I'm going to mention this to you, but I don't want you to worry about it. And usually when they say that phrase, I don't want you to worry about it, immediately you begin to worry. But God's word tells us that we are not to worry, and in this particular context about those who are doing evil, we are not to worry about that, but in turn, we are to trust in God. We are to trust his word. Listen to Jeremiah 17. This is starting at verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Notice, it's not just your trust is in the Lord, your trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Many times whenever I would go fly fishing up in East Tennessee, when I lived up there, I would find that sometimes in the worst periods of drought, you would find that some of the trees were losing their leaves or they would be turning brown, but all along that stream, all along those mountain streams where the water was flowing, you would find roots growing in and out and woven in between the rocks. And those roots were going down into those streams and into those rivers, and they were getting water from those rivers. Even when everything around those trees might be turning brown, might be stressed because of the lack of water, but not those trees. Those trees were, in a very real way, planted by the water. And this is exactly what God's word says, that those who trust in him will live like. We will be like those trees planted by streams of water, that even when drought comes and even when those things come that cause pressure and cause stress, we're not going to cease bearing fruit. Why? Because we are connected with the life-giving water, as compared to those who are not trusting God, who are far away from his sustenance, far away from his power. And so we find that we are to trust in him and not worry. These words of Jesus have always challenged me. This is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So many times, whenever we worry, what we're doing is we're borrowing from tomorrow. We're taking from tomorrow, and we're trying to place it into our today. And Jesus says that you're not to be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. There are enough things to be concerned about, not necessarily worried, but concerned about today. And tomorrow will take care of itself. It never ceases to amaze me how many times I get worried about something that never, ever happens. In fact, the majority of the things that we tend to worry about never quite come to pass in exactly the way we had worried that they would, or they don't even happen at all. I was talking to one of my friends once, and I mentioned to him that very idea, and he said, well, I'm worried about the things that are going to happen that I don't know are going to happen. And I said, how can you live that way, being worried about things you don't even know are going to happen? You don't even know there's even a possibility that it's going to occur. And he says, well, but that's what I do. I worry about the things that I don't know about, the things that I don't know when they're going to happen, the things I don't know whether or not they're going to happen. Now, that is wasting a lot of our precious time being concerned not just about tomorrow, but about the day after tomorrow, or the next year, or the next 5 years, or the next 10 years. And again, there's nothing wrong with planning, but worry says, God, I don't trust you. Worry is very much fearing that God is not going to get it right. But God is always going to get it right. And so we find the first thing in this passage is that we are to trust and do not worry. Where is it maybe that you're worried right now? Maybe you're a professional worrier, you would call yourself that. And you would say, I have a degree in worrying. I could teach a class on how to worry. Well, God's word says, trust in him and don't fret. Don't worry. Fret only tends to harm, as the Bible tells us. The second thing we're going to look at, and we're going to go back here, obey and do not neglect God's word. So first of all, we are to trust and do not worry. Secondly, we are to obey and do not neglect God's word. Let's go back to our verses. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Notice the last verse again, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. You notice the contrast there. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, because of those who do evil. They're not obeying God. They're doing evil. The contrast is, we are to trust in the Lord and do good. We are to obey. Whereas those that we're worried about are not obeying God, we who trust the Lord should be doing good. That is, we should be obeying God's command. This is in Isaiah 50. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. If you're walking in a time of darkness and you don't have a light, you trust someone who does have a light. You trust someone who can see what is happening. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah that we are to trust in God. Notice this. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? So we are to obey him and not neglect God's word. And if God has told me in his word this is what I want you to do in a given situation. And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about obedience. There is a big difference in that. Legalism is doing these things, trying to gain God's favor or trying to keep God's favor. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is obeying the word of God, what God commands us to do. So we live by faith and we obey him, even when it may not make sense to those around us. And so we are to obey God's word. And if we have done all that we know to do, we have done it with a pure heart, we have done it with clean hands, and if we say, but I don't know what is beyond that, can I just tell you what is beyond that belongs to God? That's his business. So many times I talk to people who say, well, I've been praying about what to do, and I think I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this and try and see if these things work. And sometimes we can get in such a mode, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with taking action when it's time to take action, but many times we like to meddle in what God is doing and what he's doing by himself and what he's doing alone by his power, by his means, for his will, for his purposes, by his power, and we want to get involved in that and get our hands on that. God says we are to obey him and not neglect God's word. During this season, let me ask you this. If you find yourself worrying, one of the first things you need to ask yourself is, what is my fellowship with God like right now? Am I spending time in God's word? This is how God primarily speaks to his followers, through his word. And if I'm not in his word, then God cannot be faulted. He can't be faulted anyway, but I definitely cannot cast any fault God's direction because I'm not listening to him. So if God has said it in his word, he's not obligated to repeat it in some other special way. He said it in his word first and foremost. And so we have to rely upon his word. So obey God's word. Don't neglect God's word. The next thing that this passage tells us is that we are to stay put and do not envy progress without God. What do I mean, do not envy progress without God? Let's go back to our verses. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Then you have this phrase, be not envious of wrongdoers. Don't be envious of those who are doing wrong, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. We'll talk about that in a moment. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. So what's going on with this? Well, first of all, we find this dwell in the land. God telling his people to stay put. To stay put. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, you find that the children of Israel were promised the land. Abraham had been promised that land many, many years before, and his descendants would inhabit that land. And so we find that God brings his people out of Egypt, and you may know the story. They wander in the wilderness for some 40 years, and then they go into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And they go in and they are to live in that land by faith. They are to live in that land trusting in God's protection, trusting in God's provision. And many times they don't do that. Sometimes they do that. But God tells them to dwell in the land, to dwell in the place where his blessings and his promises will be fulfilled and be made real in their lives. And so in a very real way, we are to dwell in the land. Let me give you another way of saying that in the New Testament. We are to abide in Jesus. We are to stay put, be at home with Jesus. We're not to run to this or that or run to all these other things to try to seek help. We are to abide with Jesus. We aren't to abandon him to try to find some other means to get what we believe our needs are, to get those needs met. We are to stay put. We are to abide. We are to dwell in the land. We are to remain in the place for God's promises and God's blessings. And so the contrast to that is, be not envious of wrongdoers. Because there is a progress that can take place when someone steps out of the will of God, and for a short time, it can look very, very promising. It can also be very, very prosperous sometimes to step outside of the will of God and operate outside the will of God. Look at these verses. Psalm 73:3. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look at Proverbs 23:17. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. So just because someone says, I've stepped out of God's will, or they may not say I've stepped out of God's will. They've said, I've done this myself, and look at how prosperous this has made me, not just financially, but look at all the accolades that I'm getting. Look at all the attention I'm getting. Look at all the followers I have. Look at all the people who are admiring me. Look at all the praise that I'm getting. Look at all of the things that I'm getting, and I'm doing it a different way or a slightly different way than what God says, and so therefore, God must be blessing this. I've heard of churches doing this. Now, it may not be exactly what the Bible says, but it seems like God is blessing us. We have all these people, or we have all this movement, or there's all this excitement, but it's not done by biblical means. Can I just tell you, there is a way that you can operate that in the short term can create short-term gain, but will result in eternal loss. And this is what this psalm is telling us. Don't be envious of those who are doing wrong. Don't step out of dwelling in the land to use some other method to try to be blessed by God. God only blesses the way that God blesses. And I know we say, well, that's redundant or that's repetitive. No, but it's true. God blesses only the way that he says he's going to bless. And so if we step out of that and start living in a disobedient way, even if we have short-term gains, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're coming from God. It doesn't mean that it's definitely the blessing of God whenever we're operating outside of his will. And maybe you've been tempted to do that in areas of your life. Maybe you know what God's will is, but the world or your flesh, that inner part of you that still wrestles with sin or that's still controlled by sin, that part of you that is listening to the world, or that part of you that's hearing from Satan and the lies that he is just bombarding us with on a daily basis, maybe you would say, well, you know, this seems awfully promising. This seems like something I could do. Maybe I could sort of walk with one foot over here in the land and one foot right over the border, and maybe I'm not all the way over the border. I mean, I'm still partly in the land. I'm still partly abiding. No one partially abides. We either abide or we don't. And so we find that God's word tells us that we are to not envy the progress that is made without God. We are to trust him. We are to abide. We are to dwell in the land. We are to stay put, no matter how promising that may seem. The last thing that these verses show us is that we are to remain faithful and do not depend on the temporary. We are to remain faithful and do not depend on the temporary. Let's look back at our verses again. I went one too far. There we go. Psalm 37 again. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Notice the result of those who do wrong, those who do not follow God, those who are not his. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Now, if you live down here in the South, if you're watching from someplace down here, you know that the summer months can be oppressive. And the summer months, things can turn from green to a lovely shade of brown in very short order when the temperatures reach a certain peak. And the grass that you may be walking on now out on your lawn, that's all nice and green and soft, and it's like a luxurious green carpet, and will turn into a really crackly, dry, hot, just dead mess, actually, given enough time. Well, this says that's the result of those who were prospering. That's the result of those who are prospering without God, that ultimately they'll soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. But what's the contrast? Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Befriend faithfulness. Now, I said remain faithful and do not depend on the temporary. What does befriending faithfulness have to do with fading like the grass and withering like the green herb? I'm so glad you asked that. Because this phrase, befriend faithfulness, has some alternate translations. I'm not saying the Bible's incorrect, but I'm saying sometimes those words have a deeper, richer meaning that we sometimes miss if we don't understand or delve into the original language. So let me give you two alternate meanings for befriend faithfulness, specifically the word befriend, because it can mean befriend, like be close to someone and develop a deep, dependent relationship with that person, a healthy, dependent relationship. But it can also mean two other things. It can mean cultivate faithfulness. That's that idea of that development, befriending. Cultivate faithfulness. It can also mean feed upon faithfulness. And we say, well, what do those two things have to do with each other? Cultivate and feed upon. Well, cultivate is the idea of a farmer who plows up the land and who plants seed. And then the seed grows into produce that he's able to harvest, and he's able to use that, and he's able to eat. And so you cultivate it, and then you feed upon it. So the Bible's telling us that we are to befriend, we are to become close to, we are to develop closeness to faithfulness, we are to cultivate faithfulness, that is, we are to enjoy the produce that faithfulness produces, the fruit of faithfulness, and we are to feed upon that faithfulness. The book of Habakkuk tells us that the just shall live by faith, and we are to feed upon the faithfulness of God. We are to find our sustenance and our strength in the faithfulness of God, as opposed to depending upon the temporary things that are going to fade, that are going to wilt, that are going to be like a field that is not producing crops, that's going to dry up, that's not going to have water, that is not going to be able to produce lasting fruit, that is just temporary. So we are to remain faithful, and we are not to depend upon the temporary. We are to depend upon God's faithfulness. In Psalm 92, verse 7, we find this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. There is that same idea. And it's not just in these two Psalms. You find it throughout the Old Testament. You find this phraseology about the wicked, those who do not have Christ, those who are not followers of God, those who are not obeying Him, those who are rebelling against Him, those who are breaking His covenant. He talks about how they are going to wither like grass and how they will not produce any lasting fruit. The problem is, when we take what should be fixed upon eternity, the trust, the faith, everything that should be directed toward the eternal, and we place that upon something that is temporary and something that is fraught with mistakes, something that's very fallible, and what we do is we want to take that which should be directed toward eternity, and we direct it toward those things that are temporary. The problem with placing that much trust in the things that are temporary is that when that thing ceases to be, our trust, our faith ends with that thing. Let me say that again. Let me say it in a slightly different way. Whatever you place your faith in, when it ends, by necessity, your trust in that thing or person ends as well. This is why we only place that degree of the most deep trust, the most important things that we trust, we have to trust those to someone who is eternal, because only then can we have eternal hope, because we have to place our trust in someone who is eternal, and that's found in Christ. So if we place our eternal hope in something that is passing here, we are going to be disappointed again and again and again. This is the danger of idols. And I know you may say, well, I don't have any idols. Well, you may not have a wooden or stone or a metal idol, a statue that you bow down to and worship, but we all wrestle with different idols, different things that compete against our worship with the one true God. This is what the Bible tells us about idols. This is in Psalm 115. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Now look at verse 8. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Those who make them become like them. What does that mean? Those who make them, those who follow idols, those who follow things that are not God, they will become like those idols. What are those idols like? They have mouths but do not speak. You find that people who depend upon idols, people who depend upon things other than God, they may be speaking, but they're not speaking eternal truth. They have eyes but do not see. Their spiritual vision is dulled. They're blind. They can't see the spiritual reality because they have rejected God. They have ears but do not hear. How many times could I tell you over the years that I've spoken to people who are not followers of Christ and have shared the gospel with them? And in many cases you find people, they hear the gospel, they understand it, they repent, they come to Christ. They have an incredible time where they realize and recognize Jesus for who he is. They recognize that they themselves are sinners separated from a holy God, and they come to him in repentance and by faith. And it's a glorious thing when you see that happen. But on the other hand, you see sometimes people rejecting God again and again and again and again and again. And you can say the same words, you can preach the same message, and they just don't hear. They have stopped their ears to the truth. Noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. They are unable to accomplish anything lasting by their own power. And it says that those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. So when we trust in the temporary, when we place our eternal faith in something that is passing, it's not going to last. Let me give you a kind of a simple way to remember this last point. Think about it like this. Pass on the passing. The things that are passing, just pass on them. That's not to say that there are certain things, and I know some people say, well, there are certain things I like. I like watching movies, or I like watching sports. I'm not talking about enjoying things as hobbies. I'm talking about placing our ultimate faith and our ultimate trust in something other than God that's passing. When those things come as a temptation, we need to pass on the passing. Those things that are passing, we just need to pass on them and say, I'm not going to place my eternal trust and my eternal faith in those particular things. I'm going to pass. I'm not going to do that. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Can I just ask you, which one of those is most like what's going on in your life right now? Is your life looking more like the first two verses, verses 1 and 2, or more like the last verse? Is your life one that's characterized by worrying, or is it characterized by trusting God? Is it characterized by obeying God's word and seeking out God's word, seeking His truth? Or is it characterized by doing evil and doing things that are against God's word? Could you say that you're planted by a stream, or are you dealing with these drought times maybe that are coming into your life, and you find that you've been trusting in those things that are not lasting and that are temporary, and you're wrestling with those things? Are you dwelling in the land? Are you staying put? Are you befriending faithfulness, cultivating faithfulness? Are you feeding upon God's faithfulness, or are you trusting in something else? Are you passing on the passing? Do you have a hard pass on those things that are passing? Or are you receiving those and placing those things as idols in your life? Can I tell you, there is mercy and there is grace to be found at the feet of Jesus. And there's freedom to be found in Jesus. I think so many times we forget the freedom that we have in Christ. We think about salvation and we think about all the wonderful blessings of salvation, but so many times we forget that Christ has set us free from sin and we don't have to continue to walk back in there. I had a good friend of mine, I'll close with this. A good friend of mine, he's a Bible teacher, and I remember sometimes he would teach and he would draw on a whiteboard a little jail cell, looked like a little cage, and he would draw that little holding cell, and he would draw a little stick figure inside and say, "This is where we are before we receive Christ as Savior. We are locked in our sin. We are captive to our sin. We can't get out ourselves." And then he drew a little open door on that cell, and he erased the little figure inside that jail cell, and he drew that same figure again standing outside of that cell. And he said, "When Christ sets us free, we are free from sin." But he made an interesting point. He said, "The only thing is that jail cell door, it will never lock on us again. But we can go back in that cell and live as though we are still a captive, even though we have the freedom to step out of that cell and we don't have to be locked in that cell ever again. But that door remains open. It doesn't slam shut behind us and lock behind us so we can never enter into it again." And so many times we find ourselves going back into that jail cell of sin and living like people we were before we came to Christ. God has granted us freedom from those things. And when these temptations come that would combat our trust in God, we can remember we don't have to go back into that jail cell and be trapped by our sin and succumb to those temptations that are laid out before us. We can trust God while we fight those temptations. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you provide a way that we can deal with temptations when they come. When trials come, when difficulty comes, when all those things pile up and they seem to just, there just seems to be a big logjam upstream of all sorts of worries and concerns and fears and doubts and anxiety. Father, we are thankful that you are in control of all things and we can rely upon you and we can turn those things over to you We don't have to be held captive anymore to those things. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone listening, anyone watching that is wrestling with anxiety, they're fretting over something, Father, I pray that you, by your Spirit, by your Word, by your truth, you would take that fret, that fretfulness, Father, and that you would transform that into faithfulness, and that they would look upon you and they would have a deeper trust in who you are. Just because you say you are utterly and completely trustworthy. Father, I pray if there's anyone who is toying with stepping outside of your will in order to accomplish what it is they think needs to be accomplished, Father, I pray that you would help them to see if following you got them into this situation, if being faithful got them into this situation, being unfaithful will not get them out of it. Father, I pray that no matter what situation we face, whether it's this situation with COVID-19, whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's family issues, whatever it may be, God, I pray that we would remain faithful. No matter what happens, we would just continue to remain faithful, knowing that we can remain faithful because you are always faithful to us. So, Father, I pray for anybody who's wrestling with temptations right now, anybody who is wrestling with worries, fears, doubts, envy, whatever may be coming their way, Father, I pray that you would grant them freedom from those things by your Word and by your Spirit. And, Father, if there's anybody watching, Father, if there's anybody listening, and they would say, my life is characterized by those first two verses of Psalm 37. I'm not obeying God. I'm not listening to God. I'm doing my own thing. I'm living for myself. Father, I pray that by your Word, you would show those individuals that they need you. They may not think they need you right now, but Father, they do. They need you right now in their life. They need you for eternity, Father. And so, Father, I pray that they would just pray a simple prayer. They would just pray to you, and they would just pray that you would forgive them, and that they would say, Jesus, I trust the sacrifice you made on my behalf. I trust that you died in my place. Save me. Transform me. Change me. I want to live for you. I surrender to your will. I surrender my life to you. Father, I pray that they would just cry out to you, and they would pray that to you. Father, I pray that you would do a work in their life, not just in their life here, but grant them eternal life through Jesus, your Son. We give you thanks, and we give you praise, and we give you all the glory because we know, Lord God, you're the only one worthy of it, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us, and hope to see you again this coming Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. right here as we gather together in our respective places and worship God in our Sunday morning service.